Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for October 7th, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the energy market with Harry Cooney from GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. We'll get the latest growing season statistics for the week just ended for Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota. And Don Day will have agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures settled on this Monday afternoon. We'll make that Tuesday afternoon. Hard red winter wheat, the December variety, settled at 588 and a quarter, up 12 and three quarters. March, 589 and three quarters, up 14 and a quarter. Soft December wheat settled at 506 and a quarter, up 14 and three quarters. March, 518 and a quarter, up 14 and three quarters. December corn settled at 340 and a half, up 8. March, 353 and a half, up 8 and a quarter. May, 362 and a quarter, up 8 and a half. July, 370, up 8 and one quarter. November soybeans settled at 940 and three quarters, down 1 and a half. January, 940 and a quarter, down 1 and a quarter. Go out to July at 971 and three quarters, up 2. October soybean meal settled at 327, up 670. December 312.60, up 370. October soybean oil settled at 32.96, down 36. December was down 35 at 33.10. Last trade, October live cattle 165.85, up 280. October lean hogs 107.40, up 22 and one half. And those are Tuesday's settlements from the Chicago Board of Trade. Looking at meteorologist Drew Leonard's weather highlights, he says that remnants of Tropical Storm Simon are still expected to run across much of U.S. hard red winter wheat country Wednesday through Friday, with some showers lingering in the south early Saturday. The storm will bring relief to weeks of below-average rainfall in southern Kansas, Oklahoma, and a few neighboring areas. Simon will also impact the lower Midwest Thursday into Saturday. Greatest rainfall is continued to be advertised for areas from Missouri to the entire Ohio River Basin, with rainfall totals of 3/4 to 2.5 inches resulting. The next larger storm in the U.S. Midwest will be October 13th and 14th, with widespread rain expected. Scattered showers and thunderstorms will occur in the northern U.S. Delta daily through Thursday before moving southward through the balance of the region Friday into Sunday. Join us November 24th for our first ever WILL Egg Farm Assets Conference at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. Our on-air analysts will be all there talking about corn, soybeans, and cash grain marketing. And we've lined up experts from the U of I College of ACES to take up farmland values, crop insurance, and the ARC-PLC decision. The cost is $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.
You're
listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Well, corn makes 2.5 week highs today.
It sure did. We noticed some local basis levels actually improve a nickel overnight, and I think that all this rain and the forecast of more rain has some of the commercials wanting to maybe secure a little bit more for their immediate needs.
So commercials are buying, and we also have a report due out on Friday, and I wonder, just wonder, might it be part of to buy the rumor and sell the fact later?
Well, I think that's a very much because the rumor being is they're going to cut, you know, acreage, harvested acreage, and there. How much will the USDA go up on their yield as compared to some of the others are? And also along the line, there was the rumor of China buying some Russian corn.
So we're running the market up into Friday, and I guess the question then becomes, is it possible that we put in a higher week?
It's very possible. I mean, as we look at how this goes, it, depending on what the numbers say Friday, of course, I mean, you know, the average guess for the corn production is at 14,506, and the yield at 174.68, you know, just unbelievable. You know, the question is going to be, what's the harvested acres going to be? The average estimate's at 83.15.
We would think that Farm Services might be fairly close to finishing with their reports. I believe I saw earlier, several weeks ago, that they were about 95% done.
You know, I'm not surprised. But that last 5% might be hard to get done and in and moved around because everybody, I think that they did have a later time to get in and get some of that done, and there might be a few acres that aren't here or there, but they should be awfully darn close to what it should be with the FSA numbers. Now, you have to remember that not everybody participates in the government programs, so there's still sort of an estimate that goes in there, even if they're 100%.
Turn our attention to the soybeans, which, despite the numbers showing down 1.5 on the day in the NOV, had a similar run-up to corn, but it could not hold its gain.
You know, it didn't hold, but boy, it had a bigger gain yesterday, and it really moved on up there. You know, as we looked here, we were talking about, you know, getting up to that 950 mark, sort of with a real question mark whenever we said that we wanted to sell a little more there, and we got that opportunity today, and it did back off after it did get theirs. But, you know, the same sort of thing with the beans as with the corn. We've got the wet weather. We've got the dollar dropping down, you know, as we look at the dollar here today, why it's backed off a little bit again today. And, you know, also rumors of Chinese being interested in, not ours, but at least interested in South American beans.
And from a technical standpoint, that November soybean contract actually running up into a gap that was left over in September just a little bit, but didn't have the energy to push through it.
You know, and that's where we kept pushing in the corn, and the technicals stayed positive. But in the beans, like you said, it didn't push through.
So the question is, will it push through before Friday?
Well, I think that's, you know, we saw a tremendous amount of fund activity today. We're thinking that they're thinking the dollar is maybe near a top, and they're maybe moving some money into commodities. And if the funds would continue to buy, why, it's very possible, Dave.
So what are your expectations for a possible higher week in soybeans by the end of the week?
Well, you know, like I say, there again, the end of the week comes after the report at 11 o'clock on Friday. So, you know, as the way things are looking right now, it definitely has a great possibility the way that we've taken off the first 2 days of the week. I mean, you know, let's face it, we're 29 cents higher in the week already.
So what is going on here? Are traders thinking, well, yeah, production higher, but they were beginning to come around to the demand side and focus just a little bit more on that than they did a month ago. And we do have evidence that corn demand has picked up. Bean demand has been very good thus far for the beginning of the marketing year. Could it be that they're saying maybe demand will keep that WASDE number for the ending stocks at least about where it is and maybe a little less?
You know, that's very much. There's a lot of moving parts in this report. You know, if you remember where we changed the production from the year before in beans, mm-hmm. we lowered the carryout from last year, the carry-in for this year, down below what we thought to be pipeline figures. You know, the acreage, how much are we going to come or give or whatever, how much will they come up in the yield, all these things. You know, how are we going to leave exports, how are we going to leave crush. All these things, you know, are big things. But, you know, the biggest thing is going to be the weather and keeping this crop moving as far as harvest goes, and also seeing if the yields hold up, but also in how is Brazil coming along, or how are they going to come along in their extreme increase in bean planting, Steve?
So if I'm a hedger and I need some catch-up marketings, I may have done a little bit today, or maybe I'm going to do a little bit tomorrow. But it seems to me I should put some orders in above the market because we could get a pretty big knee jerk.
That would be the exact advice that you would get if you called me, is, you know, if nothing else, at least have some orders above this market with the idea that if we do get a good reaction to it, the report, or even just the trade for this week, that we would like to be short some new crop beans.
Let's turn to wheat and have a word about that before we let you go for the day.
Well, you know, the wheat really surged up here. We've seen some weather problems, maybe some quality problems from Brazil with the excess rain they're getting in the area. But we saw that as we went up here, it's sort of taken us out of competition with the world wheat prices because the other countries did not seem to follow the U.S. up on this. So a little worried that this wheat rally might stall out here.
And I guess, you know, one man's rain is another man's, one man's rain that is a negative is another man's rain that's a positive. And boy, Kansas has been quite dry. This will be welcome to them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we would love to have actually a little more rain in some of those areas to get the wheat up, get it sprouted, and get it looking good. So, you know, we've got areas of this country that are very much in drought conditions, and we'd love to see them get the rain instead of us for the next 3 weeks.
Thank you much, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. Our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference is November the 24th at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. We've got the latest on farmland values, and we'll spend time looking at crop insurance under the new farm bill, as well as the pending ARC-PLC decision. And we've got marketing panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. The cost is just $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Here is the latest crop progress for the week ending October the 5th. NASS says that 77% of the corn crop is rated mature versus 60% last week and the five-year rolling average of 81%. 17% of the corn crop is harvested versus 12% last week and the five-year rolling average of 32%. 83% of soybeans are dropping leaves versus 69% last week and the five-year rolling average of 84%. And 20% of soybeans have been harvested versus 10% last week and the five-year rolling average of 35%. We start with the state NASS reports with Illinois.
This is Doug Hartwig, director for USDA NASS Heartland Region, with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending October 5th, 2014. Fall harvest is well underway, but was delayed by heavy rainfall this past week. Statewide, there were 2.22 inches of precipitation recorded. That was 1.46 inches above normal. There were 4.3 days rated suitable for fieldwork for the week ending October 5th. Corn mature reached 90% compared to the five-year average of 82%. Corn harvest was 23% complete, behind the five-year average of 45%. Corn condition remained rated at 83% in good to excellent condition. Soybeans turning color reached 95%, close to the five-year average of 94%. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 83%, up 15 percentage points from last week. Soybean harvest was 18% complete compared to the five-year average of 32%. This is the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending October 5th, 2014. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director for USDA NAS Heartland Region.
This is Glenn Goodrich with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending October 5th, 2014. Cool, dry weather in the first part of the week encouraged harvest in most of the state, but rain starting Thursday and lasting into the weekend brought most machinery to a halt. Average temperatures of the week ranged from 55 to 67 degrees, and from 4 degrees below to 6 degrees above normal. The statewide average temperature for the week was 58.9 degrees, which is 0.5 degrees below normal. Corn was at 83% mature by week's end versus 78% five-year average. Corn matured by region was 84% in the north, 80% in central, and 85% in south. The corn harvested reached 18%, behind a five-year average of 31%. Corn harvested by region was 12% in north, 14% in central, and 37% in the south. Moisture content of harvested corn was at 22%, versus 17% five-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves had risen to 88%, on par with 87% five-year average. By region, soybeans dropping leaves was 91% in the north, 90% in central, and 78% in south. Soybeans were 18% harvested, behind a five-year average of 30%. By region, soybeans harvested was 13% in the north, 23% in central, and 17% in the south. Harvested soybean moisture content was 14%, versus a five-year average of 11%. Some soybeans in southern districts were still showing green stems, although pods were still drying down nicely. Wheat was being planted in harvested soybean fields. Wheat planted was at 18%, versus 19% five-year average. 6% of winter wheat had begun to emerge versus 4% five-year average. This is Glenn Goodrich reporting.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 5th, 2014. Wet conditions have delayed widespread harvest across Iowa. There were 3.3 days suitable for field work during the week. Temperatures for the week averaged 1.1 degrees above normal. A hard freeze was reported Saturday morning around Sibley, while most of northwest Iowa saw frost. Average precipitation for the week was 1.25 inches. Almost a half inch more than the normal. Increasing slightly from last week, topsoil moisture levels rated 96% adequate to surplus, while subsoil moisture rated 92% adequate to surplus. With almost all of Iowa's corn acreage in or beyond the dent stage, corn mature reached 79%, 6 days behind the five-year average. Moisture content of corn in the field at 27% continued to delay harvest. Only 7% of corn has been harvested so far, 3 weeks behind the normal pace. 76% of the corn crop was reported in good to excellent condition. With almost all of the soybean acreage turning color, 85% of the crop was dropping leaves or beyond, just behind average. Soybean harvest was 9% complete, the lowest percentage harvested by this date in over 30 years. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the week crop progress and condition report for the week ending October 5th, 2014. Favorable weather conditions early in the week allowed farmers to make strong harvest progress for sugar beets, dryable beans, and corn silage. Corn for grain and soybean harvests, however, were delayed due to the high moisture levels. The northern half of the state experienced frost, and that worried those farmers about slow development of immature crops. And the eastern third of the state received more precipitation, but overall statewide, there were 4.4 days rated suitable for field work during the week. 5% of the corn crop is now harvested in Minnesota, and that remains 2 weeks behind the five-year average. Moisture content of the corn that has been harvested is estimated at 28%. 63% of the crop is mature, with 69% rated in good to excellent condition. 73% of the corn for silage has been harvested. Now that's 2 weeks behind normal. 90% of the soybean crop was dropping leaves. That's 4 days behind average. And the soybean harvest stands at 23% complete, and that's 1 week behind average. 66% of the soybean crop is rated in good to excellent condition. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Joining us now to take a look at the energy market is Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Dave. A beautiful Tuesday afternoon for harvest and whatever out there this afternoon.
And they're going full guns because later in the week things are going to slow down with the rains coming.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have pretty much a clear week, and now I see they have several periods of some showers at least out there in the forecast. May kind of halt things. We've had some exciting moves in the energy complex here in the past several months. Of course, the crude oil market topped out there in late June on the Iraq news and the conflict over there, and got a whole bunch of people bulled up thinking we were going quite a bit on higher. But since then, the market has continued to tumble. And in fact, after topping out over $105 there in late June, we've traded down just under $90 a barrel, down to about $88 a barrel here today. And the overall downward slide continues.
And the low for the move was a few weeks ago at 88.18. Do you see the market dipping below that?
Well, it would sure appear that it's on track to do that. One thing that's happening today is that the stock market is crumbling to the downside. Now, whether that continues or not is anybody's guess. My guess is it probably will. It's down about 230 points here this afternoon with about a half hour to trade. So that's kind of giving us a little bit of a drag on the energy complex also, even though the crude oil market and the stock market haven't really been in sync lately. It's just when you get down over 200 points or up 200 points in the Dow, it tends to have an impact on the energy complex.
A year ago, when we were having a story about propane, because we needed it to dry down that corn, because
yeah,
we had so much of it, and we actually went into the heating season because of the dry down a little bit short. Where are we this year?
Well, exactly right. And what a change. In the first place, we got the crop planted more on schedule this year. So that's been a big factor in this dry down, even with the cool July weather we've had. But the propane stocks are at one of the highest levels that I've seen in many years going into harvest. And now we're hearing some reports of 17, 18, 19% corn here in Illinois, still 25 or higher out in many parts of Iowa and Minnesota. But the harvest doesn't look like it's going to cause near the drain on propane supplies that it did a year ago. And we're starting out with many more barrels of propane in storage going into the fall season. Then we'll just have to see what the winter weather is. My guess is that we just have to bet on more of a normal winter. Having two back-to-back extreme cold winters would be very unlikely, in my opinion.
What are some of the factors that have led to this propane build?
Well, we have a lot of these, that's a great question. We've had a lot of these shale plays, a lot of when we're getting new drilling techniques and things, we're getting a lot more crude oil out of the ground. And in the crude oil refining process, that spits off some propane, about 25% of our propane, and the other 75% is just from shale plays of horizontal drilling and such. So we're just finding a lot more. Production is up a lot. At the same time, though, the big story over the next several years is going to be the export of propane, because we're exporting a lot. We don't need all the propane that we're actually producing, so we're starting to export a lot. The Panama Canal will be a big factor in that. In coming years, we'll be able to have larger ships going through the Panama Canal, getting it over into parts of Asia and Japan.
Thank you very much, Harry.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Harry Cooney of GrowMark, and he is over in Bloomington, Illinois. In just over 2 minutes, we'll be talking with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and getting the lowdown on harvest possibilities for corn and soybeans over the next week. It's National Frappe Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1858, Charles Marvin was born, a U.S. meteorologist. He invented the clinometer that figures the height of clouds over airports. He was the chief of the U.S. Weather Bureau from 1913 to 1934, and he was especially interested in the application of mathematical statistics to meteorological problems. In 1894, Oliver Wendell Holmes died. and American physician, poet, and humorist. He was the author of The Professor of the Breakfast Table and Over the Teacups. In 1940, the U.S. Postal Service issued a one-cent stamp honoring Eli Whitney, inventor of the mechanical cotton gin. In 1950, Willis Carrier died, an American inventor. He was responsible for modern air conditioning. And in 1956, Clarence Birdseye died in New York, an American naturalist and inventor. He is the creator of the deep freezing food method and co-founder of General Foods Corporation. On Arctic trips as a field naturalist for the United States government, he noticed that freshly caught fish, when placed onto the Arctic ice and exposed to the icy wind and frigid temperatures, froze solid almost immediately. He learned, too, that the fish, when thawed and eaten, still had all its fresh characteristics. In September of 1922, Birdseye organized his own company, Birdseye Seafoods Incorporated, in New York City. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, I think what everybody has been talking about the last couple of days is harvest delays in the next few days or so. What can you tell us?
Well, I certainly think that's going to be a concern. We have a confluence of events. We've got a stationary frontal boundary that's going to be draped across the Ohio Valley and central and southern areas of the Corn Belt. At the same time, subtropical moisture from the leftovers of Hurricane Simon streaming out of the desert southwest, in addition to some Gulf of Mexico moisture, is going to come up, intersect with that boundary, and produce some widespread areas of showers and thunderstorms for several days over Missouri, portions of Kansas, southeast Nebraska, looks like southern Iowa, central and southern Illinois, Indiana, then into Ohio. It's going to be a wet period of weather during that time frame, a narrow band of precipitation, but a very persistent one, and that could lead to some delays.
Of course, parts of Kansas will be saying hooray.
Well, that is true. Always good to get some moisture in for that wheat, but for other folks, it will be a bit of a concern. One of those double-edged swords.
How long will it take to dry out? Because I think there's another storm system on the horizon around, what, October 13th and 14th?
Well, there is, although I will tell you, there's a lot of disagreement in our long-range forecasts right now. The global models are in waging war right now with each other, with some modeling bringing in a pretty good-looking storm system early next week with a pretty good shot of cold air. Some other modeling not as intense with the cold air or the precipitation. My hunch is that the former will probably win out, which means there will be another possibility of colder weather and precipitation early next week.
The harvest window shut down for a while.
Yeah, we'll put it this way. It's going to be a window that's going to be opening and closing with rapidity here over the next couple of weeks.
We should turn our attention to South America, because harvesting has begun down there in Brazil. And a talking point among traders this week thus far has been dryness in the north, although it is quite early. Is this more than a talking point? Is there a potential trend there?
Well, certainly you need to watch it, because the trend over the next week to 10 days in those areas of Brazil you noted will be for some dry conditions and above normal temperatures. And that also goes for many portions of Argentina as well. So whether or not it's a trend that goes past a couple of weeks, we'll see. But certainly for the next week to 10 days, many of the key growing areas of South America will be dry.
Typical South American weather would, in the next week or two, have showers pretty much picking up.
Well, that's true. That's something, when you look at the climatology, says that should develop. And I think that's to be something a week from now we'll be keeping an eye on.
Thank you very much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference is November the 24th at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. We've got the latest on farmland values, and we'll spend time looking at crop insurance under the new farm bill, as well as the pending ARC-PLC decision. And we've got marketing panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. The cost is just $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org.